Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Emily Langan and I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator here at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, firekeepers of the Haudenosaunee, the indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. Before I introduce this morning's speaker, I want to let you all know that I have accepted a new position outside of the university. I have truly enjoyed meeting you all through TMR, and I hope our paths cross again. I am now honored to introduce Mark Frechette. Mark Frechette is the I-81 Viaduct Project Director, as well as Central New York's Planning and Program Manager for Region 3. Mr. Frechette has worked for DOT since 1985, with diverse management and engineering experience in construction, highway design, structures, planning, program management, local programs, and emergency response. Prior positions include serving as the regional director of the North Country for New York State between 2009 and 2014. The I-81 Viaduct Project is one of the largest transportation projects that DOT has embarked upon, and it poses many challenges to provide transportation solutions that enhances the livability, sustainability, and economic vitality of Central New York. Please join me in welcoming Mark Frechette.
Thank you, Emily. Glad to be here this morning and look forward to our conversation today. Transportation is really at the forefront of many things, economic development, sustainability, quality of life for our communities, livability for our communities also. Today's presentation will focus on really a significant transportation challenge that we have here in Central New York. I hope to be able to answer questions about why DOT needs to work on the I-81, I-690 interchange. I'll discuss some of the different analysis done with some of the other alternatives that we studied. We will talk about traffic and how the transportation network will function efficiently and effectively with the community grid. And I'm going to spend most of my time talking about DOT's preferred alternative, which is the community grid alternative. I will leave 15 minutes at the end to give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you have. So before I start talking about 81, I want to just give you a little bit of information about Region 3, New York State DOT, and Central New York. So DOT is broken up into 11 different regions. Our region here in Central New York is called Region 3. It's approximately about a million people that live in the six counties that we manage. That includes Onondaga, Oswego, Cayuga, Seneca, Cortland, and Tompkins. There are six cities that exist within this, this zone, Syracuse being our largest. Ithaca is one of the biggest cities in the state that is growing. Auburn, Cortland, Oswego, and Fulton are the other cities. We have 49 villages and 97 towns that exist within Region 3. We are responsible at DOT to maintain 3,600 lane miles of highway. We own over 600 bridges. And we work with our local partners on their 600 bridges that they own. Lots of transportation is going on in Central New York. You drive around, you see a lot of these projects that are ongoing in construction right now. Projects like the Thompson Road over I-690. We're paving on Interstate 41, or not Interstate 41, but on 41, Route 41, west of Interstate 81. We've got a very large bridge down in Tompkins County, 34B over Salmon Creek, which is a 500-foot span bridge over the gorge. We just completed the Empire State Trail through Central New York. So just to give you a frame of reference, over the last 3 years, DOT has put out approximately $175 million worth of construction work every year. And our projects, the ones that the state do, has been around $125 million per year. We work with our local municipalities right here, those from Syracuse will see projects like the Salina State Street project that's under construction. Our local municipalities like the city of Syracuse, Onondaga County, when they did the trail over the CSX Railroad, they're doing about $50 million of work a year. So this transportation construction work really keeps DOT busy, keeps our municipalities busy. Our transportation partners that are out there at the village, county, town level, our consultants, contractors are all pretty busy delivering a $175 million program every year. So the picture you're looking at is Interstate 81 and 690, the crossroads. I-81, of course, facilitates the north-south movement through Syracuse, and I-690 facilitates the east-west movement through the city. This project that I'm going to talk about is by far the largest project the region has ever worked on. And once it gets to the construction phases, it will be one of the largest DOT projects ever built in New York State. The national vision related to interstate highways and bridges is that the majority of the infrastructure was built in the 50s and 60s. And much of that infrastructure is really coming due for replacement or major rehabilitation. I think some of the northeastern states, like New York, has had to battle additional things like weather, age. It was one of the first things built. Salt that we use for de-icing, freeze-thaw conditions that we have, very cold temperatures to very warm temperatures. And just compared to other parts of the country, you see that our infrastructure is, interstate infrastructure is really in need of the new transportation funding that is being debated right now in Congress. This interchange that we talk about is a very large interstate interchange. So it's not one bridge on I-81, I-690. It's actually made up of 28 separate bridges that join together to make up the interchange. And to just give you a point of reference related to the elevated portions of 81 and Interstate 690 through Syracuse, the size of these bridges is comparable to the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge over the Hudson, the old Tappan Zee Bridge, that was just completed. That was a little over 1 million square feet of deck area, and that's commensurate with what we have in downtown Syracuse. So I think most people on this call will recognize the national and international trade route, the Interstate 81 is. It is a principal regional north-south, providing connection from Canada to Tennessee. It also ties to the Thruway. It is a primary access to our city, Syracuse, University Hill, the hospitals. In general, downtown north of 690, I-81 carries around 100,000 cars of traffic a day, as well as I-690. And connectivity is essential to influence the livability, economic vitality, and really the sustainability of the region. So why we're doing the project, probably the largest thing that people recognize, and I just touched on it, 50, 60-year-old infrastructure. This is a picture up in the upper left-hand corner of the Teal Beach. I'm sorry, the Beach Street Bridge on I-690. All of our bridges on the interstate are, unless we've replaced them, are 50s, were built in the 50s or in the 60s. For this specific bridge, this was a emergency repair we had to do before we replaced it a couple of years ago. And we're seeing more and more of that type of work that we're having to progress with. Just showing the signs that the end is coming for these bridges. We have installed safety nets under the deck to catch falling concrete in multiple locations. As many know, there are a lot of people that walk and park under the interstate system. And we want to prevent people from getting hurt or having concrete chunks fall on vehicles parked underneath them. A couple signs, a couple examples of infrastructure deficiencies. We had accelerated this I-690 at Teal Beach project that's already been constructed. It was a $75 million construction contract. We finished that a couple years ago. And it was part of the I-81 Viaduct project, but because of repairs like this that you see on the screen, we had to accelerate the work and get that done quicker. Another example of emergency fix was some people will remember, it was probably about 3 years ago, that I-690 eastbound was closed for 10 days. We had to replace the deck on I-690 eastbound over the Franklin Street and two of the Salina streets, or two of the spans of the Salina Street. So three spans were completed. We were able to do that in 8 days and open the traffic back up. But these are the kind of things that you get into from a bridge perspective when it's aged as much as it has. Another big factor in the project is safety. We have at the interchange of 81 and 690, 3 to 4 times higher accident rate than the statewide average for similar interstate facilities. What that translates to is having over an accident a day through that interchange. And that, a lot of that is due to the geometrics. The geometrics is really what you experience when you drive on the highway system. You'll notice here that the travel lanes are pretty narrow. There is no shoulders here. They have a 1 foot curb offset. We have an accident here on the Viaduct Bridge, and emergency services can't get to people. It backs up on the interstate very quickly. And then mobility is another issue that we have. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me just say one other thing. We have 200 non-standard, non-conforming features in this interchange of 81 and 690 geometric-wise. Everything from curvature, engineering has improved a lot in 50 to 60 years, and I'm confident that we can address the deficiencies that we have that lead to the accidents that occur daily. Mobility, we have peak hour congestion and delay. We do have standstill interstate in the morning, in the evening. We're not Boston from a congestion standpoint, but the project does have a number of choke points. Big ones being Adams and Harrison exits. All the alternatives that we've developed would improve the mobility of the transportation system. So in the summertime, we released a document called the DEIS, and it carries three alternatives. We've looked at more than 30 different solutions for the for what comes after the I-81 viaduct. The solutions include the no build, which really serves as a baseline to the other build solutions. And this is required in the NEPA laws that we carry a no build alternative. To me, this is the worst solution on the screen, the no build solution. We do have a viaduct replacement solution that is included. It would improve the bridge system to bring it up to today's standards. This alternative remains a viable solution in the document that we released. But our preferred alternative is the community grid. And I'm going to spend most of my time talking about that. What this would do would remove the 81 viaduct between the railroad bridge down on the south side, the NYS&W railroad bridge, to the interchange with I-690. It would also look to disperse traffic throughout the city grid. Those who believe that we will take all the traffic on Interstate 81 downtown and put it on Business Loop 81 doesn't understand how we're planning to disperse traffic through the city. And I'll touch on that today. The traffic volumes that will be on the Almond Street corridor are far less than what we see on the interstate system today. So the significance of the release of the document this summer was both the state of New York and the federal government was recommending, when you lay all the cards on the table, that the community grid was the best alternative for the elimination of 81 through the heart of the city of Syracuse. So one of the defining factors for selecting the community grid was the significant property impact that occurred on the viaduct. I wanted to show you on the left-hand side the impacts. These are all the buildings that we would need to take if we were to implement the viaduct replacement alternative. This is mainly due to expanding the interstate system to address much of the safety issues that we have. The community grid has four properties that we need to take. All four of those are commercial buildings. So we are not displacing people from their homes. None of the four buildings were historic. So we were able to preserve the historic significance and cultural significance in downtown Syracuse. We do have to take strip takings throughout the project. These are could be as small as a 1 foot front lawn property take, so we can install a sidewalk. There's about 150 of those strip takings that we need to have to implement the project. That includes work out in Cicero and in areas and DeWitt and so forth. But when you look at just the comparison of the historic and cultural impact, you look at some of these buildings, and one of these buildings is an SU building. There were 10 that were historic, 17 commercial properties, which would impact over 400 employees to take them, multiple residential buildings, including some apartments, would all be displaced to replace the viaduct through the city of Syracuse. For those who advocate for the viaduct alternative, and I would tell you that the viaduct alternative from an engineering perspective is a good solution. It's really the impacts associated with rebuilding the viaduct that has moved the department to say that the community grid alternative is the best solution. If you want a quick comparison, take a look at chapter 8 in our DEIS. It really shows a good comparison of all the environmental impacts. That includes property, includes noise, it includes air quality, environmental justice for each of these two build solutions. So So the focusing on the community grid, which is our preferred alternative, this does quite a bit of work, construction work outside of the interchange, I-81 and I-690. One of the more significant changes that we implemented in 2019 for the community grid was the development of the Business Loop 81 concept, which was really based on some feedback we got from the community. So DOT is recommending that I-81 between this northern interchange up here, I-81, 481, and the southern interchange down here, I-81, 481, that become Business Loop 81. And the old Interstate 481 would become the new Interstate 81 with multiple transportation upgrades. The Business Loop 81 would be a high-speed freeway north of 690, so going up through here, and really south of MLK, which is down by the dome area, down through here, which would be very similar to what travelers experience today. People coming in town of Salina or Clay or Cicero, we don't even have construction work here by the airport or the thruway. It's really the work is downtown, we'll have work around here, but the experience will remain very high speeds. It'll be a freeway. People will be able to get into the city and out of the city very, very quickly. In a few slides, I'll talk about that 1.4 mile section of I-81 that gets rebuilt downtown as part of the Business Loop 81. DOT will own and maintain the entire Business Loop 81 section all the way through the city. We'll, of course, also own the Interstate 81. So this shows some of the work on 481. It includes doing the two interchanges, the northern interchange and the southern interchange. I've got some graphics a little bit later in the presentation. Lots of work expanding from two lanes in each direction to three lanes, specifically between the thruway in Interstate 690. We've added a lot of work here at exit 3 with 5 and 92 also. In total of the $1.9 billion that we estimate for the community grid alternative, we're upwards of $500 million of that 1.9 is being spent on this 481 corridor to upgrade that so it could become the Interstate 81. So downtown, DOT would maintain this green Business Loop 81 sign so people know how to get through the city. Motorists coming in from the south, from Lafayette, Tully, Binghamton, going north would just transition to the Almond Street corridor and take the Almond Street corridor up to Erie Boulevard, over to Pearl Street, and then back to the current interstate system. Going in the opposite direction, coming in from Clay Cicero, the Central Square area, if you're going south, you would transition to Oswego Boulevard that this doesn't exist today, over to Erie and then to Almond Street, taking you through the city. DOT would own all of this. We're in conversation and talks with the city to take over ownership of all of these highways so we can control the Business Loop 81. So the idea behind the community grid alternative, though, is really much more than just the Business Loop 81 through the city. The community grid alternative looks to efficiently get people to where they're trying to go. And there are numerous improvements that are being implemented under the community grid to the local street network that will disperse traffic and provide new ways for people who are accessing the city to utilize both Business Loop 81 as well as Interstate 690. A couple of the access points DOT will build this new access point, Oswego Boulevard. We are creating a new interchange here at Krause and Irving to be able to serve the University Hill. This does not exist today. I'll show you a couple of graphics of that. We have the Pearl Street on-ramp that will take people back to the north. We'll maintain Clinton Street as it exists today. We have some major improvements to the West Street interchange, flipping the West Street interchange such that the Northwest community will be able to be tied into downtown more. And then we're going to convert a number of streets from that are one way in some sections to two ways. That includes Krause, Irving, Adams, and Harrison will be converted to two way to really try to better connect the neighborhoods and the community. So this is a picture of the Krause-Irving interchange. This is Krause here. This is Irving. You see the dome in the background. So this is a important way that DOT is proposing to disperse traffic to get people to where they're trying to go. Things like this will correct the problems that we currently have on the Interstate 81 with the backups at the Harrison Adams, people trying to get on and off. They're getting on and off there because they're trying to get to the Hill. They're trying to get the 22,000 students going to SU, the students going to ESF, the 25,000 people who work up here at University Hill at the hospitals. We have 175,000 emergency visits every year. This is a destination people are trying to get to. So what this will allow for is there's a ramp here to go east over to DeWitt. There is a ramp off the screen here that will allow people coming from the DeWitt area or along 690 to be able to shoot right up to Krause. Those coming in from the Camillus or Fairgrounds area will be able to get off a ramp here to go up Irving to go to the University Hill and vice versa. Leaving, they'll be able to get back on I-690 and go west. Those who exist in Clay Cicero, Town of Salina will have direct connection to 690 to be able to take advantage of getting to the Hill also. So what we experience today from a traffic perspective is everybody is destined for the same exits, and it creates a lot of issues for people to be able to get to where they're wanting to go. Doesn't mean that people can't take Business Loop 81, it's just that we will disperse traffic such that the traffic volumes on Business Loop 81 will be significantly lower downtown than what we experience today on I-81. So a couple of changes that we've instituted that we released this summer. We have a new northbound exit from Business Loop 81 to Colvin Street to provide a direct link from the south, people coming in to the University Hill area, to the Southside residents here, to the outer Comstock neighborhood. That has resonated pretty well with the community. I think a lot of support for that. You know, much of the conversation that we have with the suburbs, for many people in the suburbs, is surrounding the removal of the Interstate 81 in downtown Syracuse and the anticipated traffic congestion and how will the transportation system function in downtown Syracuse once I-81 viaduct is removed. We have done significant traffic analysis along both the Interstate 81 and Interstate 690 and Interstate 41 corridors. We have studied intently the Business Loop 81 and have analyzed over 260 intersections downtown Syracuse, things that are not even a part of the project. We have studied that. much like the school grading system, us engineers do a what we call a level of service, where if you have a level of service of an A at a signalized intersection, that means you have less than a 10-second delay through the intersection, compared to a F, which is 80 seconds of delay. So we have provided in the document every single intersection to show you the level of service of how things will function. You see a lot of green and blue and gray. You don't see red. There's one red here down in the Sorep by Stratford over by the in the university. But you don't see the congestion that people people have brought up. We model this stuff in the AM peak times. We model this stuff in the PM peak times when the traffic volumes are the worst. We also have raised the traffic, the anticipated traffic volumes 30 years into the future to ensure that what we're doing is going to be able to handle the traffic that far into the future. So that level of service on the interstate system, these graphs up at the top correlate with this last graph. Green is good. That's an A. Blue is a B. C is a level of service. C is a gray. Red would be the level of service F. So this is what we have today. And our viaduct alternative is good. If you have green, blue, grays, yellows, those are good. Community grid, very good. Our level of service getting through the transportation system is sufficient. 93% of our analysis shows that we will be at a level of service A, B, or C. 93%. So commuters also want to know, how will this impact me personally? And that's an important piece. So how long is it going to take me to drive into work in the morning and in the evenings? So we developed these travel times that you can get on our website, basically coming in from anywhere in the suburbs into different areas. And we have the current travel times under the no build. We have the travel times under the viaduct, and we have the travel times under the community grid. There's really very little difference in travel duration between the two main build alternatives, the viaduct replacement and the community grid. And there's very nominal differences. Much of what people drive in today, take a look at what your drive is, and you can see what the travel time differences are. If you're coming in from the north or from the west or from the east, the travel times are going to be within seconds of what they are currently today. If you're coming in from the south, there was a piece that was put out by the Channel 9 News that if you're coming in from Lafayette and you're going to Destiny, it'll be about 5 minutes longer to come into the city. So community grid will move the interstate by converting 41 to 81. And we are in the process of implementing the business loop downtown. We had put this together just to recognize those minutes where those changes would be. This was the 5 minutes I'm talking about here. A little bit 5 minute longer coming in to the city. If you're going in the opposite direction, that won't, depending upon where you get on, won't change that much. Travel times on 690 stayed the same. Travel times here into the city stayed the same. Travel time along 481 stayed the same. So really the only difference, this was the no build, this is existing, this is community grid over here. was a little bit of a change in this area. The other traffic concern that we heard from the suburbs was really related to the economic impacts as a result of moving some of the traffic volumes. So we had a board here that really showed what it is today, traffic volumes. Any given day, it's 65,000 here, north of 41 as you progress towards downtown. As I said earlier, 100,000 cars traffic on 81, similar traffic volumes here on 690. Under the community grid, there is some change. It pushes about 10% of the traffic volume here over to the 41 corridor. 690 stays pretty much the same as what it is today. And then the biggest change for the community grid is it pushes a lot of the traffic in this south side. It's about a 41% reduction in traffic volumes from what we currently have today. I think that says 52,000 down to like 33,000 here. So traffic volumes will decrease on the southern side. And where's that traffic go? Well, a lot of that traffic will go right here onto 41. Some will choose to go 690 if they're going up to 90, or so minor, some traffic changes here on the southern side. So a lot of engagement. I hope people took an opportunity to come and engage with DOT. We had both a virtual and in-person public hearing. We've had our website's been open 24/7. People can go in and view anything that we've been showing. We held 9 community and neighborhood meetings and really lots of stakeholder engagement. This really informs DOT and really helps to create the vision of the future. We've heard some things that controversial. The roundabout was a very controversial issue that we're re-looking at. Our purpose of the roundabout was really to create that traffic calming between high speeds and the low speeds grid section. So we've heard from the community. They think it's their comment is that the roundabout's too close to the Dr. King Elementary School. So we're looking at some new solutions, and we'll share those solutions when we fully understand the pros and cons associated with each of the new transportation solutions. We are where we are. We released the document in the summertime, held the public hearing in August. We're coming up to the comment period being closed, which is October 14th. I believe that's maybe a week from today or a week from tomorrow. And so October 14th, if you want to comment on the project, please get us your comments by that date. This will roll into us putting out a final environmental impact statement and the record of decision. That's anticipated sometime in 2022. This allows us, once we get to this stage, to put contractors on and acquire the property necessary to move forward with the community grid, which is anticipated to be by the end of next year, the construction phase is starting. So the construction is very complex, and there's multiple phases. The time is 8:47, and I want to leave time for people to be able to ask some questions. So I'm going to run through a couple slides pretty quickly, because I think I want to give you at least an opportunity to be able to ask whatever questions you have. And this screen could take a little while talking about that. A lot of things, a lot of community consensus. I think in jobs, ped bike, transit, I haven't talked much about that, but those are components of the build. economic growth and sustainability, livability of our communities are all very important aspects that I think in the community, there's a lot of consensus on those kind of tasks. We are working on developing a local workforce, a local hiring initiative. DOT is working with Department of Labor, which really will mean that people who will be building the project will come from the community. We've broken up the construction into five contracts in phase one, and that's really being done to allow for our contractors, our local contractors, to be able to bid the contracts. If we were to bid a very, very large $800 million contract, no one from Central New York could bid that. That would be contractors from New York City and in other parts of the country or even outside. So we're breaking those up into smallers. There, we are applying now to use a local workforce initiative that will ensure that people within the community are working on the project. We are working with the city on their Syracuse Build initiative. A lot going on behind the scenes related to recruitment and placement. Both the city and the state have some training programs that we're working on right now. PedBike, that is a, talked a little bit about that, and transit opportunities. This has really got the opportunity, the project does, to really transform those connections to the Creek Walk downtown, the Erie Canalway Trail, the Syracuse Connective Corridor, and we look forward to implementing those. One of my favorite quotes of all time, this came from former Secretary of Transportation Anthony Fox. Transportation is not just to get to places better, but to make places better. And DOT does believe that the community grid can transform downtown Syracuse. And we really believe we have a huge opportunity to make a difference in Central New York with the community grid. Although DOT is a transportation agency, we see that this project can be much more than 6 miles of interstate construction and much more than the replacement of multiple bridges. So our website has a lot of information. If you go to id1opportunities@dot.ny.gov, you can take a tour of a lot of the things that we've talked about here today, updated graphics, and look for things that you're interested in. Visually, this is right out front. You see the Syracuse building, Center of Excellence building in the background. It's a different vision for the business loop concept that we're trying to institute here. So with that, I think we've got like 10 minutes left. Ran through that last part a little bit quick. I apologize for that. There's a lot of things to talk about on this project. So why don't we open it up to any questions people may have.
Great. Thank you so much, Mark. So the first question relating to Destiny and other businesses. In order to satisfy Destiny and other businesses in the area, why not reroute 81 from the south to 41 and then 690 to hook up with 81?
Can you read the last part of that again, Emily?
Sure. So I'll just read it. Why not reroute 81 from the south to 41 and then 690 hook up with 81?
Yeah, so that's in the back in 2019 when we had the alternatives, we had Interstate 81 being north of 690. And mainly because our significant traffic volumes come in from the north. It's almost double coming in from the north as to what we have from the south. New York State had never built a business loop before. And I think we recognize that that a new spur could be north of 690 that was going to function like Interstate 81. After looking into the Business Loop 81 concept that had been done in North Carolina, had been done in Pennsylvania and some other areas, what it allowed for DOT to do was maintain the 65 mile per hour speeds, create a new freeway, and still call it 81. We implemented the Business Loop 81 as a compromise to try and help Destiny and some of the northern suburbs who was frustrated with the change. Under that plan, we would have called the interstate system not 81. We would not have changed 690 to 81 and then the northern to 81. So we could have made north of 690 up to the interchange something different. I think what's important to realize is that we are doing work on the I-41, I-690 interchange. We're doing a lot of work on I-41. And we're doing the heart of the project is really where 81 and 690 cross each other. So people will be able to make those movements at high speeds. It may not be called Interstate 81 on Interstate 690 or the northern portion, but the transportation system for those who want to make that movement, as the question was asked, will be able to do that at high speeds, and they will not have the current issues that we have with the transportation system that leads to a lot of the accidents.
Great, thank you so much. So the next question, what are the DOT's plans to protect the health and safety of Syracuse Housing Authority residents, especially older residents during construction, and how will DOT help to ensure there are sufficient housing vouchers to give residents the option to relocate during construction?
Yeah, so we have been working with the Syracuse Housing, Bill Simmons and his staff for years related to the impacts and how we can protect the residents that exist within a few feet of the interstate system. I would say during the construction phases, that's a little bit different than after the project is done. As I talked about when I was talking about the traffic, when the project is totally built, we are reducing the traffic volumes in the south side by like 40%. And by doing that, it improves the air quality for the residents that live there. It improves the noise levels. We are building a number of noise walls along the corridor. That's really outside the city. I shouldn't say that. I would say south of a MLK area, noise walls to really protect people from that. During the construction phases, there is a number of things that we can do that we have put into the contract. We have no contractors at this point in time, but as we move the projects towards construction, we want to have numerous conditions as to the time the contractor can work, equipment that they can utilize. There's a lot of things that we can do with diesel fuel and things that will improve the construction. And I think there's a bit of a misconception as to the implementation of the construction. People hear that we're doing 5 years of construction. Well, that doesn't mean we're doing 5 years of construction out front of the Upstate Hospital or out front of the Pioneer Homes area. It's far less. We had taken down the Beet Street Bridge, which is over 2,000 feet along I-690 in under a week's time. And that was half of the bridge. But the removal of the viaduct, we have some techniques. We're going to saw cut them. We are not going to allow vibratory demo hammers in that area. And we'll remove it once the viaduct comes out of service. We'll move it from the top side. We won't remove it for the downs below. So we are going to do everything we can to protect the residents that are there. Related to the voucher, vouchers are offered by Syracuse Housing Authority. They're not offered by DOT. Syracuse Housing Authority has a plan to do some upgrades there. They're in the process of seeking funding. And that's really would be a question for Bill Simmons and Syracuse Housing.
Thank you so much. What are some of the alternatives to the roundabout near Dr. King School that are under consideration?
Yeah, so what we heard from the community was they really wanted us to look further south for the roundabout. And one of the main reasons that we went from a signalized intersection at the Business Loop 81 to the MLK Highway was we initially had it being signalized, and then we wanted to put the roundabout in really to create that traffic calming, recognizing that people are going north from Lafayette, would be going 65 miles per hour by Brighton, by Colvin, till they got to MLK. And we can transition people down with speed limits and so forth, but we wanted to put in some physical transportation, traffic calming mechanisms to get people to recognize that you're now getting onto a grid system. And so the concept of the roundabout, I think, is still a good one. I think what we heard from the community was we don't like it at that close to the school. So what people had asked us when we were at MLK, it was our largest community meeting that we had with, I think we had 128 people that attended that one. They wanted us to look at Colvin, put the roundabout at Colvin. They wanted us to look at, put the roundabout at Brighton. Our concern with that as transportation officials is that if we were to put roundabouts that far south, traffic would just speed right back up. And we would lose the purpose of really putting in a roundabout. So we've been looking at actually looking at Kennedy, which is about 1,200 feet south. We've also looked north. The first intersection north is Van Buren Street. We've looked at a roundabout there. We're under the, we haven't closed the comment period yet. That's going to be next week. Comments still are coming in related to the roundabout. I think what I would say to the community and to the public is we've heard your concern and we are looking at some other solutions. We don't necessarily understand all the pros and cons associated with that, but once we do, we'll come back out to the community and have conversation about some alternate locations.
Great, thank you so much. We have time for one more question. And a couple of questions have come through in the chat about the proposal of the Harriet Tubman Memorial Freedom Bridge. Do you have any comments on that potential proposal?
Yeah, what I would say related to the Sky Bridge is we've studied a lot of viaduct replacement alternatives. And every comment that we see, that we get, we need to respond to. And that one, we will respond to. And we'll look at that. Once again, the comment period isn't closed. So people could continue to send us some more information related to that. I would just say that all comments are important. We've looked at the viaduct alternative, whether it's high, whether it's low. We looked at double stack. We looked at a lot of different alternatives. And it's just important to recognize that any solution has impacts. And it's really those impacts that drive some of the decision-making related to it. So no answer on the SkyBridge at this point in time, but we will take a look at it. We will come back to the community with the information related to that once we get that together too.
Great, thank you so much, Mark. Unfortunately, we are out of time. So please join me in virtually thanking Mark Frechette for speaking with us this morning. Thank you so much.
Everyone, have a great day.